Magic Live, our weekly Google Hangout Live and YouTube show. I'm Philip Rossmanreich of Orlando Magic Daily. On the other side is Zach Oliver of Orlando Pinstripe Post. Zach, how are you doing this wonderful Thursday evening?
Better now that I'm not watching Magic Lakers again.
Oh, God. I would not wish that on my worst enemies. A really, really, really ugly game, as I think both you and I and Scott Skiles and pretty much everyone in the Magic locker room said, they did not play anything like they wanted to play last night, but you get a win. We'll get into that game in a little bit, but your overall takeaway on that game, and is it a good thing that the Magic won that game? I mean, it's always a good thing that they won, but is it a sign of progress that they won a game that they absolutely stunk in?
Yeah, probably to an extent, I think it is, but at the same time, they can't be playing down to their opponents like they did last night. Sure, some of the issue was the fact that they couldn't make a shot. They couldn't finish at the rim. They were missing wide open shots from beyond the arc, but they weren't defending at a high level, and the offense was really stagnant, and the ball was sticking way too much. So there's issues there that aren't good. Look, I know they didn't have CJ Watson, who's really important to that team. You and me, I think, kind of both feel the same way about that, even though Shabazz Napier did some decent things last night. Getting Nick Vucevic back, I think, was probably the saving grace for them last night. Without Vooch, they probably end up losing that game. And then, I mean, what, Channing Frye has to be the guy that comes in and is the random player on the team who has a really good game and helps you win. So they're lucky, but I think they grew a little bit still.
I think that's about the only positive that you can take is that they won the game. That's the only positive you can take from that game. We'll get into Vucevic's return in a little bit, but you hit on something, and I think we need to talk a little bit about Shabazz Napier, actually. I don't think we put that in our rundown, but you talked a little bit about it in your preview there, or in that little soliloquy there, talking about that Lakers game. The injuries have really hit the Magic hard. As you noted last night, CJ Watson was out, Jason Smith was out. Scott Skiles, I believe, said today on Magic Drive Time that both are expected to be out again on Friday when they play the Utah Jazz. Watson seems to be kind of a minor injury. They're just kind of letting it heal. Also, Skiles wants to get Shabazz Napier in, so it kind of works that way as well. Smith, again, another little nagging injury. But the team's starting to get really hurt. And the big injury, of course, was Victor Oladipo. He was going for a loose ball, and just his head hit Dwayne Dedman's shoulder pretty hard. They took him out of the game with concussion-like symptoms. I was at practice today. Skiles said that Oladipo was not. He was going to see the doctor. Again, on Magic Drive Time earlier this afternoon on 96.9 The Game in Orlando. That's also available on iHeartRadio at 5:30 if Magic fans want to listen. Skiles said that there's a 99.9% chance Oladipo will not play on Friday. What kind of impact does Victor Oladipo's injury have on this team? Because concussions, that's pretty much out indefinitely. We don't know when he's going to get through the concussion protocol and be ready to play.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty big impact to the team because Victor, look, he was struggling shooting the ball and there were some issues there, but he was still playing, really starting to play well, and it seemed like he was coming into his own. So that's worrisome. And I think that last night showed it a little bit. They're still kind of bare at depth at the guard spots, even especially with CJ Watson out, because now you're looking to Shabazz Napier to come in and give you some minutes. Shabazz isn't going to score 22 points again tomorrow night.
No.
And you're probably turning to Mario Hezonja, who, look, Mario probably deserves to play a little bit more than he is, but he's not ready. And that's a sentiment that I know both of us share. And then you're going to Devin Marble, who didn't look very good in his short stint last night, because it's not like you can continue to play Evan Fournier for 48 minutes. I mean, he's already playing the most minutes on the team, and I mean, he's a guy who's struggled with injuries in the past, so you don't want to get him banged up and then really be screwed.
I mean, there's not a lot you can do with injuries. Oladipo, I think Oladipo, and I think we noted this last week on the show. Oladipo has probably been the most disappointing player on the team, but that doesn't mean that he's been all bad. Oladipo's done a lot of great work on the glass. I think he's done a good job getting the Magic into their offense and getting into the paint. He just hasn't been able to finish in the paint. His shooting efficiency is really the only thing he's done bad this entire season. What he's done well is he's been a good on-ball defender. He's been good on help side. He's helped get steals. And most of them have not been like the risky steals. They've been digging down in the post, getting into passing lanes, not trying to reach and steal it and actually steal it from the guy. He's done a really good job getting the Magic into their offense again. I think the shots will come. The shot selection has been great, and he's got to finish at the rim and get to the line. But he's done a lot of other things really well too, and has kind of acted as that glue guy. And I think when we looked at Oladipo and why maybe he could become a superstar ahead of maybe a Tobias Harris is because Oladipo can do all those different things and kind of get others involved and keep people involved within his game, as well as be a plus defender. Now, Tobias Harris is a much better defender. I think he showed that last night with how he played Julius Randle late in the game. But Tobias doesn't quite get everyone involved as much. And that's, you know, just that's just not Tobias's game in the same way that it's Oladipo's game. And so losing a guy like Oladipo, I think, means a little bit more because he's just kind of that glue that keeps everything together. I mean, his energy, especially in transition, is infected too, as the Magic are trying to get out on the break more. And so not having Oladipo, I think, is going to come back and haunt this team. Like you said, the depth is a little bit of an issue without CJ in there. I'm a little bullish as well on Shabazz being more consistent, but maybe playing him off the ball will be better. But then who do you play? How do you have to play point guard behind Elfrid Payton? There are a lot of big rotation questions, and so someone's going to have to step up. So maybe this is the opportunity for Mario Hezonja to go out there and play, you know, kind of play by force and get that learning in that everyone seems to think he needs to be on this be a contributor on this roster for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and you know, we're talking about this a little bit before we went on air, but who starts? You know, Mario is a guy who could, you know, I think it surprised us all a bit when Scott Skiles admitted that he was considering starting him in the season opener. Yeah,
it really did.
And then Mario really hasn't played that well. I mean, he's had spurts. He was really good defensively last Friday against Toronto. He played some decent defense last night, and I believe he had the highest plus minus on the team, which, you know, take it with a grain of salt because it's who you're playing with also, but
yes,
you know, it's there. But I imagine that it's probably Aaron Gordon. You just slide Tobias and slide Evan Fournier down, insert Aaron to the four, especially against a Utah team that's big. You've got to get somebody in there that can kind of go in and bang around with Derek Favors a little bit.
And the versatility Aaron provides, I think, helps because, as Kyle said at the beginning of the season, he wants consistency in the starting lineup. He doesn't want to have to change his starting lineup all the time. And so Tobias's versatility helps there too because Tobias can play most fours. Last night I did think it gave the Magic a little bit of trouble with Evan Fournier guarding Meta World Peace or having to be defended by Meta World Peace. Fournier is a more natural shooting guard, to be frank. You know, I think sliding him over there will be the most effective way for the Magic. Now, is it the best for developing Hezonja? I know a lot of Magic fans want to see Mario Hezonja play. I've had plenty of my followers, and I, you know, you can't argue against it. Plenty of followers throw back at me the plus minus from last night's game, and I agree. It's tough to look at plus minus on a single game basis, especially when you also look at kind of what Hezonja gave to the team that game. What is the best way to handle Mario Hezonja right now? Is Skiles bringing him along the right way, do you think? You said, and I kind of agree with this as well, that Hezonja should be getting a little bit longer of a look, maybe have a little bit of a longer leash, but at the same time, Hezonja, he's not there yet. I mean, how should the Magic treat Hezonja at this point?
I think that Scott Skiles is doing a pretty good job, to be completely honest. I mean, you know, the minutes might be the only gripe that I have, but, you know, I've had some people get upset with me over this, but I don't think that you should just put him out there if he's making mistakes. You know, he has those times when he, you know, misses a rotation on defense or gets out of position guarding somebody or takes a really bad shot. And that's when you need to be sat down and talked to by a coach, because that's how you learn. You know, look, I get that you can also learn from playing, but I think that we see it with the guys that are in the rotation and are playing a lot now that, you know, if you just kind of get left out there and thrown to the wolves per se, then you're going to develop bad habits. And I think that's still haunting this team a little bit, because you're seeing them go back to those habits that really killed them the last couple of seasons.
Yeah. And that was the big takeaway from that Lakers game, from the Indiana game to some extent, and also from practice today. Not so much building off bad, regressing back to those bad habits, but it was more, they need to be more precise. They need to realize that it doesn't just happen. They still need to be drilled on the principles and the fundamentals of this defensive and offensive system so that it becomes second nature. It's not quite there yet. And that's everyone kind of growing and learning. And for Mario, it goes double. As he said, the NBA is just completely different than the preseason, than everything else that came before it. It's just completely different. And so he's learning everything on the fly as much as anybody on this roster. And so to just throw him in the wolves in a situation that the team is expecting to win is asking a lot. Now, I think there are going to be – we're still waiting for this, and maybe we saw it against Washington to some extent in the opener. There are going to be some nights where he looks really, really good. And those are the nights you want to hold on to, and those are the nights that you need to see become more consistent and build off of before you give him the big minutes that everyone's waiting on. You don't just give him the big minutes now and expect that to happen. He's got to kind of build toward it, and it's going to happen. One night he's just going to hit three or four three-pointers. He's going to feel really confident. That's going to help him be in the right spot defensively. It's just not all there yet. It's not consistent. And again, that's, I think, the whole team's problem is consistency at this point. That's kind of been the issue this last week. Is the team has that really good game against Toronto. They struggle a little bit against, they do really well for three quarters of the game against Philadelphia, then struggle. They struggle mightily against Indiana. They struggle against LA. We still don't know who this team is and what they're about quite yet.
Yeah. And it's going to come. You know, I think Skiles is really looking forward to this next week or so with this team, because after their game, you know, they have Utah at home tomorrow night, and then they're at Washington on Saturday night. After that, they'll be home for a week. You know, they'll probably take Sunday off after the back-to-back. So then they'll have Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Sunday to practice with games against the Timberwolves and Kings in there before they go to Cleveland and then come home to be here until the end of the month before they go out west. I mean, having that time to really get down and practice and see where the guys are making those improvements is going to help them build that consistency, I think. And, you know, I don't know if how they finish the month game-wise is as important. It's just, you know, if they lose out for the rest of the month, that it's obviously really disappointing. But if they're starting to show signs of that consistency that they need to build, then, you know, maybe you can live with it a little bit if you're Scott Skiles.
Yeah, I don't know if Skiles will be able to live with losing out for the rest of the month. But and frankly, I don't think anyone should. I mean, this season's still about winning. You can't lose your eye on the prize. I think, you know, it was interesting hearing Vucevic talk about this last night after the game, Wednesday night after the game against the Lakers. You know, he said, you know, they view Friday as a point to get back to 500. And he noted they missed their chance to do that against Indiana. And I think it's important to them to win Friday. I get the sense that it might be important for them to win Friday, and just the mental roadblock of being at 500 for the first time since, I think it was November 2012, 2013.
Yeah. November 6th through the 9th of 2013, they they lost their first two games of the season. That was Victor's first year in the league. Yeah. And then they won three in a row, including a pretty impressive performance against the Clippers when Vooch had...
That's right. I believe
that was his 30-20 game.
Yes.
And then they went and lost four in a row, including the buzzer beater to the Celtics, and then bounced back in Boston and just got beat like a drum. That was the night that Boston just couldn't miss.
Yeah.
And then things just kind of spiraled down from there. And then last season, they never really sniffed it. I mean, they were at least 2-3 games under all season, I believe.
Yeah. You noted the schedule coming up. I've always been a big believer for this Magic team that we really don't know who this team is until their early December road trip. They usually take it out west. I think they go out west again in early December. They usually take that road trip out west in early December, right after Thanksgiving. And that's always been when I get a better sense of who this team is. And so getting this stuff down when they have these home games through the end of the month in November, and they have the practice time, because when you're on the road, practice time is limited. That's usually when you get your 4 games in 5 nights when you do these road trips. I don't think the Magic have that, mind you, but you want to give guys off because they're on a plane all day. They're not in their new beds. You don't get as much done because you don't have all the resources that you have at home. So this is the time to make sure those principles, those habits are not only formed but reinforced and drilled deep into every player on the team, and so that when you go out west, they'll be in place and you can pick up wins. And when you pick up wins on west, that's when you supposedly build momentum. I guess the Magic didn't do that last year when they went out west and won. But you get the sense that this team is still kind of building up toward this. The injuries haven't helped. We kind of skipped over this on our rundown, but Nikola Vucevic returning last night. He came off the bench, obviously hit the game-winning basket. And before I continue here, if you're watching on the Google Hangout, if you have a question, go ahead and drop it in the Q&A. We will try to get to it before the end of the show. We love to hear from you guys, so make sure you drop that in there if you're watching with us live. But Zach, Nikola Vucevic's return in the limited minutes that he had, and frankly, they probably didn't even need to put a minute limit on him with that. How big was his impact returning to the court?
It was huge. I mean, I think that the defense was really good without him, but then the offense kind of struggled some. Mm-hmm. I mean, last night the offense was, I touched on it a little bit. It was still kind of bad through stretches, but when Vucevic was in, it seemed to be moving a little bit better, and they were able to get into their sets and get guys into position easier. So I think that was the big thing. The defense was okay with him in the game. Nick obviously looked a step or two slow. And he admitted before the game and after the game, and I imagine if he spoke at practice, they probably said it again, he's not 100% yet. No, go ahead.
He said at practice today that it still hurts a little bit, but it won't get worse by if he plays on it. So he's playing on it.
Yeah, and he mentioned pregame last night that the doctor said that it was really up to him if he wanted to go, and that he wasn't going to re-injure it anymore. He didn't start last night simply due to the fact that he didn't go through shoot around because they didn't expect him to play. I mean, he didn't go through practice on Tuesday and then went in yesterday morning, got in some work, and then went through a more strenuous workout prior to the game, which Scott Skiles noted when he met with the media prior to the game, and then they said he was good to go and came in and gave him, I thought he gave him 25 really good minutes considering they missed 3 games and that he wasn't 100%.
Yeah, I thought he gave some really good minutes as well. The moment he got in, that he's got that jumper. For a center, that's such a vital weapon. That's really what makes him unique out of most centers in this league, is that he can step out and hit that jumper pretty pretty calmly and easily and pull centers and pull centers away from the basket. He made a couple of those, and it was just like, he's back. There's no issue there. You know, defensively, yeah, I think he was a little bit slow. Some of it, I wonder how much of it is scheme, because again, it's a lot of the same issues that we saw against Washington that we've seen throughout the year. There's still a lot of work this team needs to do defensively, despite how much better they are. And I looked at the numbers. I think they're still 11th in the league in defensive rating. So they're right where they want to be. But you know, they're not satisfied there. They're playing to a little bit of a higher standard than just where they rank in the league. And I know Skiles isn't happy to see that defensive rating, you know, drop, you know, come up a little bit. In the last few games, that Vucevic being back was huge. I know a lot of people like Dedmon. I like Dedmon a lot, but you know, Dedmon's inconsistent. You know, he provides you that rim protection, but even defensively, he's sometimes caught out of position. We've seen Skiles go away from him in a lot of ways. Sometimes because of his defense. You know, Jason Smith played some really good basketball against Philadelphia before he injured his knee, and there's you know. It was the right decision to have him in over Dedmon. And so, again, I think that's going to be the theme for this early season is just consistency. Who's going to consistently provide something for this Magic team to win? And I think that's the end. That's the end story here. Moving on then, you got a question online from one of our good friends, David Ramil. Why don't you set that up?
Yeah, so David, who writes for Hardwood Paroxysm and then I believe Thunderous Intentions of the Fansided Network, shot me a message on Twitter asking a question about Evan Fournier and his improvement, you know, whether or not it was, you know, a result of the scheme that Scott Skiles has implemented or being healthy, or was it, you know, both? I mean, for me, I think it's just a matter of Evan getting hot. To be completely honest, we saw last season that he put together a really strong stretch to start the season. And then, you know, it died down a little bit. It picked up, died down, it picked up. You know, he's a streaky player. And I think that we both agreed on that. But, you know, he's just been really good because Scott Skiles has put that confidence into him. And he's playing the most minutes of anyone on the team. And, you know, his production's showing that. And, you know, I don't know if it's really anything that Skiles is doing. It's just, you know, him getting the playing time and his shots falling.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's anything Skiles is necessarily doing schematically either. I do think this kind of more motion ball movement offense puts him in positions where he can get to the basket a lot more. This is something I've noted, and maybe I'll have to do a playbook post to really kind of. Maybe one of us will have to do a playbook post to really kind of exemplify this, but the Magic really do, when the Magic's offense is working, they do a really good job catching the ball in motion. They'll be, you know, coming around a screen or coming around a screen, catching the ball and moving toward the basket as they catch the ball. And I think one of the reasons the offense has struggled is they've kind of stopped doing that. They catch the ball and stop, and that allows the defense to catch up and get set. And that's not good for this team, to be perfectly frank. Fournier really works well in that kind of an offense, but he's also taken advantage of the opportunity. He is really good in the starting lineup. I'm pulling up his splits here on Basketball Reference. In 32 games as a starter last year, he averaged 14.2 points per game in 33 minutes per game. As a reserve, he averaged only 9.3 points per game in 22.9 minutes per game. So in using individual statistics, and you know, maybe that does that mean he should always be starting or not? That, you know, I think other factors go into that. But using those individual statistics, you can see you give him the minutes, he'll deliver for you. He can put up points. He'll be open. Maybe not to this extent. So jumping up as much as he has, I think a lot of that does have to do with Skiles' confidence in him and kind of being in the right spots in the offense. I do think there is something schematic about him specifically getting the bump up. I think he fits this offense really, really, really well. I think he kind of hit that, but do you agree? Do you think, you know, he could take that dip again? I mean, it's possible. I mean, he's been inconsistent his entire career.
Yeah, no, I think that the offense does really suit his game. And also, you know, the health is a big thing for him because, I mean, he's a guy who could easily get banged up because he plays 100%. We've seen him take a couple of really hard spills. I know he took one on Monday night in Indiana, and then he took one, at least one in the preseason that I can remember.
Yeah, I think it was in the preseason. It was definitely a second really, really hard hit on the floor.
Right, and, you know, those, and he just plays so hard, which is great because they need that guy. And, you know, it's something that dating back to last season a little bit, they need that player that gives them an edge. And I think that Evan really does give them an edge. But, again, will he stay consistent? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's a show me league. He's got to show it before you really believe in it. He needs to
put together 82 games of you know. Look, no one's going to have it every night. I mean, even LeBron doesn't have it every night. But if he can find ways to minimize, you know, his mistakes when he's not playing well and impact the game in other ways with his passing and his ball handling, then I think, you know, we can start talking about what is his true value, because it's something that a couple of people have tossed around, you know, while we're yucking it up before games. I mean, I believe somebody even mentioned, you know, giving Fournier $60 million, which that's a lot.
That is a lot. And that, the Magic have a tough decision on their plate, you know, even if Fournier kind of levels off or dips a little bit, because, you know, I don't think we want to get too much into the future here. We want to make sure everyone gets the opportunity to get to their 8 o'clock TNT games. But the Magic have a decision to make with Fournier, because they've got to give money to Victor Oladipo. And so maybe the decision is picking Fournier or Oladipo, or maybe the decision is, we're taking Fournier and Oladipo. We'll worry about trading Harris after his big contract run, after the big year in his contract is done. There are a lot of moving parts to the future of this franchise, and Fournier has become one of them. And, you know, I think from a trade perspective, the Magic got all they wanted from Evan Fournier and more for Aaron Aflalo, especially with the way Aflalo is kind of, unfortunately, because I think you and I both like Aaron a lot. He's a really good professional when he was here. And frankly, I think the Magic could still kind of use a player like him. But he's taken a nosedive since leaving Orlando in a lot of ways. And so Fournier has given back, you know, a lot to the Magic in that deal already. And so that's not necessarily how you want to think of players, but Fournier's done really, really well. And, you know, you want to see him continue to keep this pace up. I'd be interested, you know, there's going to be a few games. Maybe he gets injured. Maybe he just doesn't shoot the ball well. Those games are going to come back. And to me, it'll be really interesting to see how he responds to those games. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm actually getting a question from somebody on Twitter. Carlos Betancourt asks, he wants us to talk a little bit about Aaron Gordon, and you know, we know that the team used the fourth pick on him last season, but why do you think he isn't up and starting and getting, you know, major minutes at this point already?
I think it's largely because he's still an incredibly raw player. I think just about all of us have said this is a year where we really got to figure out who Aaron Gordon is. And in a lot of ways, this is still his rookie season. He hasn't hit 82 games yet. He had the injury at the beginning of last season, about this time of year, actually, too. So it'll be interesting. He still shows flashes of what he can be. Skiles really likes his defense, and that's always going to make him valuable. But I think as we've seen throughout this entire year with the rotation, Skiles is going to play the guys who are playing well. And so Gordon's going to finish a few games. He's already finished a few games. It's again, this seems to be the theme of the show today. It's about consistency. Can you do what you did last night for me tonight? Can you do it for me the next night? Can I count on you to do this? And Gordon is still developing that trust. And like I said, like I and I think you might agree with this too. Correct me if I'm wrong. That starting spot feels like it's Aaron Gordon's eventually. He's just got to earn it.
Yeah,
you can't just. I guess not because Victor Oladipo's out. But
right, and you know, I tend to agree with that. And I wrote a column before the season that I thought that Aaron Gordon should have gotten the starter minutes at at power forward. Of course, you know, things change when he went down with the jaw injury that cost him the first couple of weeks of camp, and he's, you know, maybe to an extent still trying to get up to speed. You know, I think we're still seeing that with Elfrid Payton too, who missed time. But, you know, as you said, he's still really raw. Like, we don't know exactly what he's going to give us or give the team consistently on the offensive end, and, you know, what will he be able to defend at that high level. I mean, I think we both feel like he can, but there's still some lapses in there when, you know, he falls asleep. And again, it's consistency. You know, we had a lot of people complaining about the fact that he only played 4 minutes against, who was it?
Chicago, maybe? No.
No, was it in the Pelicans game?
It was one of those early games. Yeah, he only played 4 minutes.
He only played a few minutes, and then he came back the next game and had his best game of his career.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you're not going to play with your heart on your sleeve and you're not going to give the team the best minutes that you can every time you step on the court, then you're not going to play consistently. And Skiles has shown that. And I think that's good because if you guys got guys out there that are half-assing it, then.
With Gordon, I think he typically does play with his heart on his sleeve.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's just he's not effective with like that. Like, I mean, there are guys, I mean, yeah, there's been a problem, and we didn't jump into this after the Toronto game, you know, talking about the Toronto game and to some extent the Indiana game and early in the game against the Lakers. The Magic have had some awful starts to halves, both first and second, and the starters have played with a lack of energy. So in some way, maybe this injury to Victor Oladipo is a blessing in disguise because Gordon should be ready to go at tip if he's your starter. And it's an opportunity for someone, whether it's Aaron Gordon, whether it's Shabazz Napier, whether it's Mario Hezonja, it's an opportunity for someone. And someone has to take those reins and roll with it. And that's going to be really key for this Magic team in this stretch for the next week and a half. Someone's got to take that role and own it, you know, and step up, as everyone would say.
Yeah, no, and look, Aaron's going to start playing more minutes. It's just a matter of the team finding out what's going to work best for them. And they just haven't gotten to that point yet.
Yeah, but we're past 8 o'clock. I know everyone wants to get to the TNT games. The Utah Jazz, you look over my shoulder, that's Utah right there. Beautiful, delicate arch in Moab, Utah in the south there. The Utah Jazz taking on the Miami Heat tonight. They'll be in Orlando tomorrow night, Friday, November 13th. You thought Halloween was over. A big game for the Magic, a big test for the Magic, best defense in the NBA based on defensive rating, if I'm not mistaken. Any final thoughts on the week that was for the Orlando Magic? Sitting one game under 500. Things could be worse, right?
Things could be worse. Things could be, you know, maybe a little bit better. And, you know, hopefully, you know, knock on wood for this team that the injury bug starts to kind of go the other way. Because if they lose another player, you know, somebody that's important, then they could be in big trouble. So, you know, they have to build that consistency, as we talked about the entire show. But it's going to come, and, you know, Let them learn and let Skiles do what he's doing, and let's just hope he doesn't walk out on us in the middle of a press conference again.
Got to ask those questions fast. Got to be quick on the draw. That was the big lesson from Wednesday's game. Like you said, I think the beginning of the season's been about learning consistency. You know, I know it's the tendency of the Twitterati to jump to conclusions and go crazy, but there shouldn't be any conclusions drawn right now. I think nothing is set in stone with this team, as Skiles has shown with his rotations. And frankly, with his design, you know, sometimes he'll just do line changes. If you're not given it, he's going to find someone that will, and he's willing to go deep into his bench to find it. And it's about, you know, this team still kind of finding itself. And so they've got to continue working on that, continue getting the basics and the principles down, and you know, keep winning. If you keep winning, you know, problems are problems you can solve, not, you know, major obstacles to overcome. And so
winning solves everything.
Winning, yeah, it's been a while, frankly, that this team's been able to, you know, win games when they don't have their best stuff. And so they've done that a few times this year, I think, where, you know, Skiles was not happy after the game, but they still found a way to win. So no moral victories, you know, none of that. You get actual victories, and you learn lessons while winning, and that's key for a young team growing up. Zach, once again, thank you for joining the show here. We'll do this again next week. You can follow Zach at Zach Oliver NBA and over at Orlando Pinstripe Post. Any last words before I close out my end?
No, let's just hope that the Magic actually put together a half decent performance tomorrow night and doesn't make us want to stab each other.
Yeah, and I will do my best not to have any puns, but you know, I you know, go to the rhythm of my own drummer. I go to the beat of my own drummer, as they would say. And you know, I got the reed of my saxophone ready to roll. Do saxophones have reeds? I don't think they do.
I believe that they do.
I don't think they do. I think it's a brass instrument. I don't think it's a woodwind. For your latest jazz discussion, join us tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Zach Oliver over at Zach Oliver NBA on Orlando Pinstripe Post. I'm Philip Rossman-Reich of Orlando Magic Daily. You can follow me at @OMagicDaily. We'll try and do this again next week. We hope to see you there. You can always follow us on the pod. I'll post the audio of this on the podcast. You'll find replays of this video over at Orlando Pinstripe Post as well as at Orlando Magic Daily. Thank you all for joining us once again for Orlando Magic Live. We'll see you next week here on the show. Thanks for watching and listening.